What a blessing it is to be here on this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. I am eternally grateful and thankful to be back with my family. Had a great time on last week with the Church of Christ there in Lufkin, O'Quinn. But I'm always glad to come back home, be around familiar faces, those who are striving to do that which is right before the Lord. And I know that you're striving to do what is right because you're here. And we want to encourage you, and that's why we're here, to build up one another in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit according to what Jude said. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue to use God's word to do that. Acts 20 and verse 32. You remember what Paul told the Ephesian elders there? He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. And I'm reminded of what a good preacher of mine said one time, when the congregation assembles, build them up, encourage them. The very fact that they're there, they're wanting to hear a word from the Lord. They're wanting to be encouraged. They also want to be admonished. If something is not right, they want to get those things heard so they can make necessary adjustments in their lives so they can be better for the Lord. And really, that's what it's about. It's about getting better. We want to be better in everything that we do, whether it is secular, spiritual, it doesn't matter. We want to be better at it, and we can always get better. Tonight, I'm going to start a series on grace. So you come back tonight as I start that series on grace. I guarantee you, you'll be encouraged. In John 14, let's turn our Bibles there. I have about 8 points I want to share on this morning. And in those 8 points, I want us to notice something that Jesus had said in all 8 of those points. Because it is in those points that Jesus teaches us some things that if we can just have our minds made up, it sure enough makes life a little bit more simpler. Most of the time we run into problems because our lives, our minds are not made up. Bible teaches us that when Jesus was ready to go to Samaria, the Bible says in John 4 and verse 4, he needed to go through Samaria. His mind was made up. I want our minds to be made up on today. Hopefully your mind has already been made up, but just in case you need a little bit more encouragement, I want our minds to be made up to do God's will. Jesus, he's talking to his disciples in John 14, verse 15. He says something that's very interesting. We've read these passages or this passage before. It's nothing new. But I want to be reminded that this passage, as Jesus is talking to his disciples, really in chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is talking to his apostles. It's interesting that he tells them this. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said that. If you love me, notice what he connects with love, commandments. Notice what he connects with the commandments, me. Friends, if we're going to love God, if we're going to love Jesus, we need to keep his commandments. We do what he has said, which means that our relationship is contingent upon doing what the word says. In John 15, if you turn to the next chapter, you'll look at verse number 14, and you'll see the same language, but he adds something to it. I love the word that he adds to it. I think it's worthy of our consideration, worthy of us thinking about. As a matter of fact, all relationships hinge upon these things. In John 15 and verse number 14, he says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Friends. There are rules in friendship. There are rules when it comes to love. When we consider these things, friends, we want to consider what God wants us to do as his people. You drop down to verse number 21 through verse number 24. Notice what your Bible there has to say. It's very interesting that these things are said. But all these things they will do for you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who has sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now that you have no excuse for their sin, he who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. Jesus, why are you saying this? Because they didn't keep his word, therefore they hated Jesus. Usually, friends, when we keep the words of God, they're not going to like some of the things that we ourselves are doing in the name of God. Friends, if we are the friends of God, we want to keep his word. We want to do exactly what he has said. But where did Jesus' words come from? In John chapter 12, verses 48 through 50, Jesus said, I'm not speaking of myself, but the Father who gave me what to say and what to speak. We speak the words of God. Jesus spoke the words of God. Jesus was the very embodiment of the word. The word became flesh. Friends, when we are friends of God, we have to understand that it's about listening to him. It's about having the benefits of engaging with the word. And there are great benefits to God's word. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, as we consider the very first point of 8, God's word comes with a blessed attitude. And friends, it's this simple. That if we're going to have great altitude, it's going to be determined based upon our attitude. Most of the time when people get in trouble in life is because of their bad attitude. As the people of God, we want to continue to work on our attitude. We can be looking at Matthew chapter 5 as Jesus is sitting down. And the very fact that Jesus is sitting down in verse number 1 is the idea of a rabbi. A man of control, a man of authority. As the multitude comes around him, he begins to teach them in verse number 2. Look at verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Notice their attitude. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Why? Because of sin. For they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Notice, meekness, friends, is not weakness, but rather strength under control. It takes a lot to be meek. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. For they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. I believe this is probably one of the hardest things to do, is to continue to foster and nurture that hunger and thirst after right living, after the word of God, after the will of God. Friends, our attitude is based upon us hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Is it really that simple? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let's go ahead and take a time out real quick. I want to encourage everyone, if you have some time, when you have time, because you have time, as long as you're on the top side of the dirt, you got time. I want you to consider doing a study on the mercy of God. God has been very merciful unto us. The very fact that we are here today, God has extended his mercy. And isn't it interesting? Micah 6 and verse number 8, God wants us to love mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God or sons of God. Now, I want to make a quick point here. This doesn't necessarily mean that you're stopping a fight between two people. However, when we take the gospel of Jesus Christ out to people, we are then peacemakers because we're bringing peace between God and mankind through the gospel of Jesus Christ. No wonder Ephesians 2, 11 through 14, Jesus is our peace. We take Jesus, we take peace. Oh, not the peace that's in some of our pockets. I'm talking about the peace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Y'all get that when you get home. So I don't want to make peace with their P-I-E-C-E instead of P-E-A-C-E. There's two different types of pieces. We don't want to talk about that piece. Let's keep on going. Y'all laughing at me because you know it's true. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you who are when you are reviled, when they persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Friends, our attitude is going to determine our altitude. Even as Christians, even as people of God, we want to work on our attitude. We want the blessed attitude. Turn to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through verse number 46. We're not going to read all of this, even though I wish we had time. But the focal point is verse 40 and verse 45. Why? Because Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. And then in verse number 45, he says, when you didn't do it to the least of these, my brethren, you didn't do it unto me. Friends, how simple is Christianity? Christianity is as simple as we make it. That when we see something, someone in need, someone who is going through a hardship, someone who is in prison, and I really believe they're in prison in Matthew chapter 25 because of the gospel, because of righteousness, not because they're doing out there doing something crazy, but because they are standing up for that which is right. So you go out and you visit them. You want to make sure that you give them encouragement. And Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Christianity is not about me. Christianity is about doing something toward Jesus. Yet if we're not careful, we'll focus on me. And Christianity is all about Jesus. It's about others. It's about doing that which is right. You go back and you read Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, and you'll be encouraged. And the reason why you'll be encouraged, because if someone is thirsty, if someone is hungry, if someone is sick, you're going to do all that you can to get out of yourself and go render help. Go render help. Verse number three, turn to Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, these 8 points are going to go very fast. We want to ponder more about being good grounded people. Good grounded people. What does this mean? I don't want to focus on the other three grounds, the thorny ground, the wayside ground, the hard ground. I don't want to focus on those grounds there. I want to focus on the good ground. Does that mean that I don't want us to be thinking about those? We need to do an evaluation of our own personal lives. But friends, even though someone may have a thorny grounded mindset, someone may have a mindset that they're hard-hearted, they may have a mindset that they're far away from God, even amongst us this morning, do you not know that your mind can be cultivated? That you can break up the fallow ground? That just because you're hard-hearted in certain areas of your life, that you have to remain in that? You don't. This takes an attitude adjustment. In Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, notice what your Bible says. And again, he began to teach by the sea, and great multitudes gathered to him. Now, I like that about Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, we find Jesus on the side of the mountain, and he takes a seat. Here we find Jesus, and he is now beginning to teach by the sea. You know what that also teaches us about our Lord? Doesn't matter where he was teaching somebody. Which also teaches us it doesn't matter where we are, we ought to be striving to teach someone about the Lord, about righteousness, about uprightness, about morality, about the truth of the gospel, about the church, about heaven, about the resurrection. We ought to be teaching people about what God wants them to be taught. Now notice what he says in verse number 3. Drop down to that. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell on the wayside. Birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it didn't have any depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7, and some seed fell on thorns, and the thorns grew up, and it choked it, and it yielded no crop. But others' seed fell on good ground. Friends, this is where I want all of us to be. This is where God wants all of us to be, right here. God wants everybody who is a child of God, right here. God wants the entire world to know his son and be right here. But he knows that's not the case. But notice, but other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced. Some 30-fold, some also 160-fold, and some also 100. Now notice, the King James Version says, bear fruit. New King James Version says, to bring forth or to produce. You know what God wants everyone in the church to do? Bear fruit. He doesn't want anyone to just be a Christian sitting on the sideline. Friends, we need to be bearing fruit for God. We need to be good ground. And the reason why is because God wants glory. Romans 7 and verse number 4, God wants us to be people who have come out of the grave of sin that we may produce fruit for Him. This is why God wants us to be His people. You drop down to verse number 20. Notice verse 20. Notice what your Bible says there. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Notice, number one, those who hear the word. Those who accept the word. And those who bear fruit. Is that in your Bible? Hear the word. Accept the word. Everyone who hears it doesn't accept it. But not those of us. Not that ninth and main. We want to be a people who hear the word, accept the word, and bear fruit. And the reason why we want to bear fruit, because we want to be identified with the one who came forth from the grave bearing fruit, and we are the ones who are going to be bearing that fruit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, you know the Bible there teaches us that the fruit of the Spirit is... That's the fruit we ought to be bearing right there. Oh, friends, we don't have to make up the type of fruit that we're supposed to be bearing. God teaches us what type of fruit that we ought to be bearing. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and meekness and temperance. You know what? Against such there is no law. You know what that means? That you can bear as much fruit as you want. No one can tell me not to love someone. I can love my enemies. They can mistreat me. They can do all that they want. As a matter of fact, Romans 5 and verse number 8, God demonstrated His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God did not wait for us to get right. God did not wait for mankind to treat Him right. God says, I'm going to love Him regardless of how He treats me. Wow. That's the type of fruit God wants us to bear. Number 4. Mark 7, look at verse 24 through 30. Friends, is Christianity this simple? When our minds are made up, but we got to have a made up mind. Jesus said, I must need go through Samaria. John 4, verse 4. Brother Bonnie, you said that already. Got to remind us that He needed to go through Samaria because His mind was made up that the Samaritans need to obey the kingdom's message. In Matthew, Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. Now put this in your notes. We need to demonstrate a Syrophoenician faith. That's good teaching right there. Well, I wish I had time to deal with this. Oh man, I was telling Brian today after teaching morning Bible class, I said, I can't believe I get paid to do this. Get paid to study the Bible and teach people about the Bible and about the Word. You know what? We're going to get a reward. It's not going to be monetary. It's going to be eternal life. Oh, what a great reward that God is going to give us. But back to the lesson, Mark 7, 24 through 30. Here we understand that this Syrophoenician woman understood her place. What are you talking about, Brother Bonner? Notice. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre, Sidon. Now, all of these, friends, are Gentiles. They're on the coastland, if you will. They're on the King's Highway. Keep in mind, when you consider Tyre and Sidon being in the Palestinian area, God's people were situated in the midst of these people. So here, notice what's going on here. And he entered a house and wanted to know it. But he could not be hidden, for a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. She heard about Jesus, and she came and fell at his feet. Notice the humility of this woman. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Literally in the Greek, it's in what you call the imperfect. Literally, she would not shut up. Now think about this. She kept asking Jesus, okay, usually when we have something that is greater than us, we'll go all the way out on the limb to make sure that happens. We do it even today. When there's a cause greater than us, we go out on a limb. This is why Christianity has to always be in our minds greater than us, for when it is not greater than us, we don't speak nothing about it. That's a great point. Usually when things are greater than us, we speak about it. We promote it. We validate it. We testify of it. Here, this situation with her daughter was greater than her, and she would not shut up when it came to asking Jesus, I need you to do this for me. But Jesus said to her, the little children, be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread, talking about the Jews, and throw it to the little dogs, the little puppies, talking about the Gentiles. And she answered, and notice her faith, friends, and she answered and said to him, Lord, yet even the little puppies under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Even the little puppies. She said, I understand my position. I understand who I am as it relates to being a Gentile with the Jews. But oh, I'll just take the crumbs if you give them to me. How many of us like eating crumbs? Well, it's nothing like eating some good apple pie. And you get that crust. There's just something about that crust. Mom used to make that peach cobbler. She'd make that crust. She'd put that nut bag and sugar on top of it. And I'd take my finger and get that crust. I wanted all of the crumbs of that crust. Then you take that juice from, Esther, you know what I'm talking about. You get that juice from that peach cobbler and you're just sopping it up. She said, I'll take the crumbs. No, you came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I know you came for them. I know they're your focal point. But I'll just take the crumbs. And we need to have that type of mentality. Sometimes we think we deserve the best. Really what we deserve, Romans 3 and verse number 23, Romans 6 verse 23, we deserve death. That's what we deserve. We ought to take the crumbs of what God given us. But God didn't give us crumbs. He gave us his son. He gave us his son. He didn't give us crumbs. But notice this woman was willing to take the crumbs. And then he said to her in verse 29, for this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. When she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out, her daughter lying on the bed. Oh, friends, we need a Syrophoenician faith. We need to have the same type of faith that Peter had in Luke 5 and verse number 5 when they toiled all night, didn't catch anything all night. And Jesus, here he comes. He's not even a fisherman. He says, cast your net on the right side for a catch. And Peter said, we toiled all night, but nevertheless, at thy word, I'll do it. Friends, here's the teaching. If we want to be one with God and to remain one with God, every word of God has to be important to us. Every single word. Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse number 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. We don't question him, because Jesus always has our best interest at heart. Always. God will always do what is best for us. Number 5, we need to work on our prayer life. Look at Luke 11. In Luke 11, verses 1 through 4, and put in your notes 9 through 13, but Luke 11, 1 through 4, we'll deal with this one aspect. This is very powerful. It came to pass as he was praying, in a certain place when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Stop. You read the rest of it on your own time. Oh, we need to learn how to approach God. He's Jehovah. He's not just some regular being. He is the creator of the universe. He is the mastermind behind all things. There's not one thing that God doesn't know. for he is the very epitome of knowledge all by himself. Friends, when we stop and we consider our prayer life, we can have confidence according to 1 John 5, verse number 14. And this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, but I got to know his will, he hears us. What are you struggling with? What is your faith lacking this morning? Friends, if we ask anything according to his will, we have this confidence, he hears me. As the people of God, we could put psychiatrists and psychologists and counselors out of business by just going straight to God. He hears me. I get up off my knees proverbially, metaphorically, and I go on my way knowing that God will answer my prayer. But friends, that can't happen if I'm in sin. That can't happen if I'm living in sin. That cannot happen if I don't have full faith in God like the Syrophoenician woman. Friends, these are practical things. And really, is it really this simple? The answer is yes. But here's the problem. I don't fully believe all of that. And friends, all of us are there at one time or another in our lives, and this is why the church is so important. We encourage one another. We strengthen one another. We admonish one another. We help one another. We tell the truth to one another. Why? Because we want all of us to go and be with God, and we want to take advantage of the benefit of the grace of God. God is good to us. Number six. Look at Luke 17, 11 through 19. Here's a struggle right here. Luke 17, 11 through 19. We need to return and give thanks in a genuine fashion. Luke 17, 11 through 19. We need to return and give thanks in a genuine fashion. Boy, you remember the lepers? Wish I had time to deal with all of this as well. But leprosy was a skin disease that was not curable. Sounds like sin. Not curable. The only one that could come and cure this leprosy was Jesus. The only one that can come and cure sin disease is Jesus. God, what are you teaching us with this story right here? That if you have had your sins washed away, turn around and give God the glory. Have a lifestyle of gratitude. Have a lifestyle that we understand that God is the one that we have great appreciation for. This is very encouraging. You remember what Jesus told that Samaritan? He says, "Did I not cleanse 10 of you? Where are the 9? I truly believe that those 9, once they saw that they were healed, it just did not come into their minds to come back around. But it should have. They should have slowed down and said, you know what? He was the one that we were yelling at. Son of David, have mercy on us. Friends, God has been merciful unto us. We ought to turn around and give him the glory. Look at John 4. In John 4, verse 23 and 24, our worship must be sincere and in truth. Is Christianity really this simple? It should be. But we have so many innovations today. We have so many people bringing in their own style of worship, their own attitude of worship. Friends, this should not be the case. If that when we're going to worship God, we need to worship according to his standard, according to the right attitude. And notice what Jesus tells this woman. Start at verse 21. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father, notice how, in spirit and in truth. Fathers, teach your children how to worship God. Mothers, remind your children how to worship God. When we come to worship, this is a time for us to be training our children. Focus. We come together, for the most part, about 3 hours a week. And on Sunday, about 2 hours a week. Is it difficult to be focused for 2 hours? Sometimes it is. But does God deserve that focus? The answer is yes. If we can be focused at a movie for an hour and a half, 2 hours, can we not be focused on God for an hour and a half, 2 hours? The answer is yes. There's going to come a time when you're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. That time has already come, and friends, we're already in it. Worshiping God. Being reminded of His truth. Being reminded of the hope of eternal salvation. Looking forward to the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. An opportunity, according to what James 4, verses 4 through 7 teaches, as drawing near unto God and God drawing near unto us. All because of Romans chapter 3 and verse number 25, that great mercy seat, that great propitiation through His blood. Friends, this is why we can worship God. Last but not least, John 20. Never stop believing in the resurrection. Please, many leave the Lord because of this one point. If we're not careful, we'll listen to those who say, there's no way that Jesus was risen from the dead. We don't believe that. Christians do. That's where our hope is. That's where our trust is. John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. Remember Thomas, the twin. He wasn't there when Jesus showed himself to his disciples. As a matter of fact, only 10 were there. Judas had already killed himself. Thomas was somewhere else. Jesus exposes himself as being raised from the dead. Notice what Thomas says in verse number 25, the latter part. So he said to them, unless I see the hands, in his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side. Notice what he says, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with him. Jesus came, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them. Peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet believe. Friends, I don't know about you, but I see the importance of being reminded of Jesus being raised from the dead. You cannot go into the book of Acts and not read on every single conversion. Not one of them is left out. On every single conversion, you know what is mentioned? Jesus being raised from the dead. And where is our hope? Our hope is in Jesus being raised from the dead. And our hope one day that when Jesus comes back, if we have not died already, because he could come back at any time. But if we were to die, that God will raise us up on that day. He will change our bodies from mortality to immortality, from corruption to incorruption. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're looking forward to that new body. Philippians 3 and verse number 17 through 20. And when that happens, we'll ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Oh, the resurrection. Are you living your life right now in a way that you are worthy to be raised? Hopefully we are. That's what we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to that day, Pope Joy, that when Jesus Christ comes back, He's going to raise us out of the ground. He's going to change us in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Every eye is going to see Him, John 5, 28 and 29, and forever we'll be with the Lord. But you've got to live a resurrected life right now. This is why baptism is essential for salvation. Why? Because in order for me to identify with the death of Jesus Christ, I got to go down in the watery grave of baptism. I identify with His death. I'm raised to walk in the newness of life. I appear to all men that Christ lives in me, the hope of glory. That simple. Question. If Jesus was to come back today, are you ready? Are you ready? I got to do a better job as a preacher getting people ready for the resurrection. I have to do a better job. And I will do a better job. Because that's really what it's all about. One brother said this. He said, if you're raised up and people have already been raised up, you got problems. Think about that on the way home. Because those who have died in Christ will be raised. Those of us who are down here are going to be changed. And then He's going to be dealing with those who don't know Him. It's going to begin with us. It's going to begin with the house of God. And friends, if you're living a resurrected life now, you don't have nothing to be worried about. All because of God's goodness and His grace. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll extend the invitation. Great God and Father, You're so good to us. We're thankful for Your word. We're thankful for the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And all of the things that we talked about this morning, all of the things that Jesus did, all of the infallible proofs that we saw, we pray to Father that we will always strive to be His people, help people along the way, encourage our brethren, admonish when necessary, and always talk about the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Father, we love You. We're so thankful for the members here at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ. We're thankful for those who are struggling because it gives us an opportunity to help them. We're thankful for our leadership. We're thankful for the ministers we have, our deacons. But Father, we're just thankful just to be Your people. And I pray that we will always strive to just do better. Help me to do better as a minister in properly preparing Your people for that final day, that we may live with You throughout eternity, that we may be identified with Your Son, that if we love Him, we'll keep His word. And in keeping His word, we are His friends. So help us to be the friends of Jesus Christ by honoring every single word that comes out of His mouth. And for that, Father, we're thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, let us be standing. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to be considering obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, meaning change your mind, which leads to a change of life. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. This is where God operates on you, Colossians 2. This is where you make that formal appeal unto God, 1 Peter chapter 3. And this is where God will wash away all of your sins. What a good God we serve. All in hopes of that resurrection one day. And this is why those of us who have had loved ones who died in the Lord, we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. Our hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And friends, God will save us. Save us from what? not just sin, but ultimate destruction. We don't want to be destroyed. We want to be with God throughout eternity, singing around His. You're not a child of God. We want to be part of that. But if maybe you're a child of God and you've fallen away, or your mind hasn't been focused, you come to worship, but you're really not focused. Let's get focused today. You're in Christ, but you're really not bearing fruit. Well, let's get away from that mentality and let's begin bearing fruit. Let's be intentional about what God wants. And then watch God bless our beyond compare. Let's do that as we sing the Savior's invitation.